Lodge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Two U.S. Navy destroyers intercepted some of the missiles Iran aimed at Israel today.
U.S. Navy destroyers deployed to the Middle East region supported the defense of Israel by firing approximately a dozen interceptors against the incoming Iranian missiles.
Pentagon spokesman Major General Pat Ryder, Israel's resumed airstrikes over Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. Vice presidential nominees J.D. Vance and Tim Walz debate tonight. Amongst 1.5 million customers across several states are still without power after Hurricane Helene. More than 20 are feared dead in suburban Bangkok after a bus carrying young students and their teachers on a school trip caught fire. A woman will spend 50 years in federal prison for her role in luring four young men to be killed by members of the violent transnational gang MS-13 in the New York City suburbs. Prosecutors say Leniz Escobar was a critical player at every step of the massacre. This is ABC News. Violent crimes are down nationwide.
The FBI releasing its second quarter crime report from 2024 showing a continued drop in violent crime from January through June. Murder down 22.7%, rape down 17.7%, robbery decreasing by 13.6%, aggravated assault down 8.1%, and property crimes also decreasing by 13.1%. The FBI says the data is preliminary and does not include some major cities like Chicago and Los Angeles, but those cities also showing significant declines according to their weekly crime reports. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The Labor Department reporting an unexpected increase in job openings in August. 8 million jobs posted, up from 7.7 million in July. Layoffs also fell in August, and the number of Americans quitting their jobs slid to the lowest level since August of 2020. A new statute took effect today in Florida, where it is now illegal to sleep on public sidewalks, parks, or beaches. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I've got some good news about prices, especially at the pump. Gas prices are the lowest that they've been in years right now. The statewide average in Wisconsin is about $3.02 a gallon, and there are 10 counties, including Eau Claire and Sheboygan, where the average price at the pump is under $3. Gas prices have been heading south since this summer when Biden and Harris released 1 million barrels of oil from one of our big reserves to help us avoid a summer gas price surge. And I am all for doing whatever we can to keep gas prices down. So I don't want to hear any more of this talk about tariff taxes on imports. Half our gas comes from overseas. I can't afford to pay more for that. Let's keep our gas prices down. For more Everyday Money news, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's money to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A suspect sits in an Arizona jail, accused of a brutal murder in southeast Wisconsin last weekend. Teresa De Jesus Cruz Rubio's headless body was found in Glendale Friday night. Her son allegedly confessed to investigators that he killed her. Police found him after they spotted her car in Phoenix Saturday morning. Donald Trump in Wisconsin claiming Iran's missile attack on Israel Tuesday would not have happened if he were still president. He blames the Biden-Harris administration.
And now we have them in charge of potentially World War III. And World War III is going to be like no other if it happens because of nuclear weapons and other weapons of mass destruction.
Trump is the first Republican to campaign in Dane County since Bob Dole in 1996. Kamala Harris campaigns in the Fox Valley Thursday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
It's time for the MLB postseason. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today to open up the best of three wildcard round. Milwaukee enters as the NL Central champion and third seed in the NL. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers are young but ready for the postseason. First pitch is after 4:30 p.m. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the LA Rams on Sunday. Coach Matt LaFleur said Sunday that the Packers had a lot to clean up after the 31-29 loss to the Minnesota Vikings in week four.
You got to be focused in terms of and very intentional about what you're trying to get accomplished. When you look at it, we've had two tight games that we've lost. And we got to make sure that we don't put ourselves in those positions where they do cost you.
Kickoff this week against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. And Wisconsin football will play in back-to-back 11 a.m. games the next 2 weeks. They host Purdue this Saturday and play at Rutgers next week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 30s to near 40. For tomorrow, a mostly sunny day, highs around 70 to the low 70s. And a mix of sun and clouds and cooler for Thursday, temperatures back down into the mid-60s for highs. Currently 57 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, author Jennifer Berkshire stops in Wisconsin and other battleground states to organize voter pushback against privatizing education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Tonight's question, if you still want to get in on the fun, is who is the greatest late-night talk show host ever? Or who's your favorite? You can answer it either way at 855-752-4842. This is a perfect question for tonight because we have a writer from The Late Show with Stephen Colbert joining us right now on Nightlight. He is here to talk about his one-man show and all things comedy, Paul Mercurio. Paul, it's really great to have you here. Do you have a favorite? Obviously, I would assume you'd say Colbert, but do you have a favorite late-night talk show host other than Stephen?
Not a big fan of Colbert. Very overrated.
Conrad, copy that. Yeah. Record that. We can use this. We're going to take it to Paul's cousin, and we are going to stick it to this guy.
Exactly. Stephen's going to be selling mattresses on the side of the road. That's what he's going to be doing. Well, I think Stephen, is great. And it was hard for him because he came out of being a sketch comedy guy and an actor, really. And, you know, he had to be, and it took him a while to get comfortable, not that long, but I'd say Carson. But I also think, I watch old Carson on like Antenna TV Network, and like you watch him, like he's like when Rodney's on, he doesn't need to do anything. Oh, Rodney's just a machine and he goes. But then when someone needs help, he brings him along. He's like a perfect host. And I just think it's hard to say, you know, there's anybody better, you know what I mean? Everybody kind of has their own thing, but, when you watch him, he still holds up. That's the thing. I don't know if you watch reruns of him, but don't you find that?
I love what you just said, when Rodney's on or Rickles or Dean Martin or somebody, like, you're right. That's great analysis. He really knows he's different with each guest. He's exactly what he has to be as a host. And that's a great way to put it.
Rickles was on, he was a guest on The Daily Show, and he was playing out in Atlantic City, and we all wanted to go see him, the whole staff. We made a pilgrimage, and we said, please sit us down front, because we wanted to be picked on stuff, right? And then, sure enough, he comes out, and he's got a tuxedo on, and a little tumbler of scotch, and he's like stalking the stage like a panther, and he stops one of the writers in our staff at the time, this really sickly looking guy, and he goes, you. I'm a friend. Get a mask. And he just keeps going. And it's like, yes, Rickles gave us one. This is awesome. So, I'm a big fan of late night, obviously.
Great. Yeah. When Bob Newhart died, I watched one of my favorite clips. It's Rickles talking about the Newharts, and Letterman, I think, or Carson asked him, you like the Newharts? You're friends with them. He goes, they're nice people. They carry the luggage and do what they're told. Paul, we have another clip from your show, Permission to Speak. So I want to play this before we run out of time and have you talk about it a little bit, because I have a couple other questions I'd love to ask you. So let's set up this last clip from your show.
Yeah. So this is, again, the show is bringing audience members on stage or from the audience, people telling stories from their lives, and me as well. And this is a lovely 95-year-old woman, Lee, that I had on stage in Orlando, and she tells how she met her husband.
How did you meet your husband?
We were in the same homeroom in high school.
That's where I met my wife, in high school.
Yeah.
And you saw him, you thought he was cute?
No, we hated each other at first.
Why?
No, it's just, you know.
Just, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it grows on you.
Yeah.
In fact, as he was going with, really dating my best friend, and then they broke up, and I was there, and he took me home. That was nice.
Get down on it, get down on it. That's fun. I mean, that's great.
Yeah. And she was an open book, you know, and I really related to her because my mother's 96. And
wow.
Just, you know, yeah, she's 96. She will not go down. We try everything. bad sour milk, bad cheese. You trip her, she bounces back up like a little Italian weevil. I know people think, oh, that's me. Meet my mother. She's out of her. She grew up in. First of all, she we had to close her furniture store that she ran and we ran with her for 63 years. She had a store. We closed it 2 years ago, a year ago, 95 years old. And she's mad. She's retired.
Wow.
She wants to keep working. Yeah. She goes, what am I going to do? I go, well, you have your help. You have some money. You can Trump. I'll take you to the senior center. She goes, I'm not going to go there. Those people are old. I'm like, you're 95. You're old. What are you going to go skydiving with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce? You're old. Okay. And then she won't buy anything. I don't know, anybody listening may be like this or have family like this. She grew up in the Depression.
Right.
So she has really bad hearing. She was born with bad ears. And she needs hearing aids, but she doesn't want to spend money. So she found her hearing aid. She goes to people's garbage on Sunday nights looking for good garbage. Not food, just stuff that's broken. And then she has a guy. I guess everybody's got a guy, like I said before. Mario, and Mario fixes stuff. She found her hearing aid in the garbage, okay?
Oh, wow.
I swear to God. And it whistles all the time. It's like, is that me? It's like, you take her for a walk. Within 3 minutes, you have a pack of dogs following you the entire walk. It's just like, and so like, she just does things her way. You know, she wouldn't use filing cabinets because it would cost too much money. So she would get styrofoam coolers and she'd put her bills and things in the styrofoam coolers and then she'd write on the outside of them and she would carry them around. When she got audited, it looked like she was going on a picnic. Okay. It was it's just brutal.
Oh, that's brutal. Great. Now, all right. So your mom is 96. Paul, tell me when you decided you wanted to do stand up, what was the moment? And did your mom or dad have anything to do with it when you thought, I can do this? I'm gonna be a comedian.
No, well, you know, it's so funny. You know, you have the theme about late night hosts because I loved watching late night comedy and watching comedians. I would beg to stay up, you know,
yeah.
Carson, Letterman, whatever it was, right? And Same. Then I never thought I was going to do it. I went to law school and I ended up being a lawyer on Wall Street doing corporate law. Because that's the normal path you take to go into comedy.
Right.
You amass a ton of debt, and then you live like a homeless.
Hit the open mics.
Yeah. And I never thought I would do it, but I just when I look back, it's natural that I am because I loved it. I don't know what it was. I loved it, and then I would hear some of the jokes, like Ronnie would do jokes, and I go into school and I say the jokes to my friends, and then I started writing jokes as a hobby. While I'm doing like merger and acquisition deals.
Jeez.
And then I had all these jokes written. I didn't know what I was going to do with them. And one night I got invited to a private function that my firm was invited to and Jay Leno was the entertainment. And I went up to him and I said, I don't know if you need jokes, but I'm never going to use these and you can have them. And he was like, okay.
Oh my gosh. Really?
He takes them, right? And then 2 days later, my phone rings and this happens. It's Jay Leno. Is Paul there? And I'm like, there's no way Jay Leno's calling me, right? Because it's Jay Leno, and I thought he would throw the jokes out. And because he's hosting the Tonight Show at this point, and, you know, obviously he's Jay Leno. And I go, right, Jay. And I go, no, it's really Jay Leno. And I thought it was my friend David pulling a prank. I go, David, I don't have time. I'm at work. It's late. He goes, no, it's Jay Leno. I go, David, stop. He goes, Jay Leno. And I actually said to Jay Leno, you do a lousy Jay Leno. He's like, I think I do a pretty good me. I'm like, oh my God, it's Jay Leno. And he goes, I need jokes for the Tonight Show in my act, and I'll pay you $50 a joke for whatever I use. just keep sending stuff in because you have the right sensibility. And then he's about to hang up, and he goes, by the way, what do you do for a living? I go, I'm a lawyer. He goes, I knew it. I go, why? He goes, you write like a lawyer. You're too wordy. He's like,
he's giving
like, get
you
to the
notes.
Punchline already.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great story about how you got into it, you know? That's a great story.
Yeah, and then people always say to me, did you know you were going to be a comedian? I'm like, no. And then we're like, be funny. And then I look back, I'm like, I was always the funniest lawyer in my law firm. Which,
boy, I hope so.
Yeah. It's like, well, that's not like saying much, really. If you think about it, it's like saying you're the sexiest IT guy, you know?
Oh,
but then I just decided to pursue it because I didn't want to look back and say I should have, and that's how it happened.
And look, I mean, all the stuff you're doing now, what's your favorite thing to do, Paul? You stand up, you've done your own specials, you've done late night spots, you've written sketches, now you got a one man show. What's brought you the most joy out of all those things?
Talking to Pete Schwabba.
Damn right. Conrad, clip it. That's our promo.
Yeah, you know what? I think performing it, you know, writing for others is fine, but you know, you've been a writer yourself. You got to write in their voice something that you think is great and funny that you would say they won't. And that's fine. But it's also great to be part of TV shows. And I perform mostly on The Late Show now, less writing, more mainly performing, but I, you know, still do that too. And I just like that thing when you say those words and then the laughs come back at you, you know, you've done it. Like, it's like, there's really hard to explain to people. It's like, there's a thing. And even if you're in a bad mood or things aren't going great, you go out there, you forget about that stuff. And then boom, you know, you're out there. And then it's just like, you know, it's just things, you know, and for me, it's the performing. And it's a little challenging to perform now because with everything being so PC, you got to kind of try to be true to who you are, but then like everybody's looking to try to catch you in something too at the same time, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. Paul, this is so much fun, and I'd love to have you back on because I do want to talk about the Daft Punk thing you guys did at Colbert. That was one of the greatest late night bits I'd ever seen. It just brought me joy.
Thanks.
And we only have about a minute left. If there's some tidbit you can share with us about that, that'd be great. Or we could have you back. I'd love to do either.
Yeah. I come back because there's kind of a lot to it. I mean, I can say it's just been great working in TV. You get to meet big stars. Like, I met Scarlett Johansson. That was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
And I found something out that if you touch her, they will tase you. Just to be careful about that. So
she's one of my exes. So yeah, I get it.
I just tapped her on the shoulder. No, but that Daft Punk thing came out of, it was like classic making lemonade out of lemons. But it's kind of a long story, but I'd love to come back on and talk.
Well, let's
so
do that.
Fun.
Let's absolutely do that. And I wish you luck. It's at the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts. The show is Permission to Speak, Paul Mercurio. Check it out Saturday, October 19th. Go to themarcuscenter.org for more information. Paul, it's great meeting you, man. And I wish you luck with the show. Break a leg. And let's do this again. I hope you come back.
Absolutely. I would love to. This was so much fun. Time flew by. And I don't like Conrad. I think he's got an attitude. But everybody – no, I'm just kidding.
Listen, he's been bad-mouthing you for months. I hadn't even met you yet, and he's been coming for you. So
Hey, listen. You guys got to – if you come to New York City, we'll get your tickets over to the Late Show. You, Conrad, whoever you're with, come and see some of the Late Show. It's really fun taping. So we'll get
I appreciate
that. For you, so.
Love it,
hey,
man.
This has been great. Thank
All right.
You so
we'll
much.
Talk, Paul. Thanks so much. Break a leg, buddy.
All right.
All right. That's that was fun. Paul Mercurio. And if you haven't checked out, check out Daft Punk, Stephen Colbert, Late Show. Just pure joy. We're coming right back with Northeastern Wisconsin's own Rob Breckenridge. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body.
Oh, cool. All right. Hey, we're just hanging out here at Nightlight talking with my next guest, Northeast Wisconsin's own, one of the funniest guys in the state, joins me here in studio. It's great to have you here. Rob Breckenridge, how are you?
Thank you. Yes, I'm doing really good.
It's all comedy tonight. We had Paul Mercurio. Now we've got some homegrown comedy. And you were talking, I complained that I'm having a bad hair night. And you said, oh, really? Well, look at mine. And I had prostate cancer, and you just made me feel like about one inch tall.
Well, I do talk about it. A lot of people, when they, you know, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer about a year and a half ago. And I tell people about it because I want people to get checked. Because
sure.
I got checked early, and that's what saved me, I guess. You know, my doctor, he's got the strong Wisconsin accent, so it's hard to hear. So you got prostate cancer there, you know. You really want it to be like an English guy. Well, I'm so sorry. Your time on this earth is limited. But he told me that he caught it early, and they zapped me, and I've been in remission since December.
Oh, good for you.
But, yeah, and then he said he put me on estrogen, or he calls it lady juice.
He said that?
No. It's all part of the bit.
I could hear a doctor actually saying that because he thinks you're a comedian, so he's got to be funny.
Yeah, he did. He did a bunch of – because he does have the accent, you know?
Yeah.
And I was getting one of those procedures where you have to go in through the easiest access area.
Love
and
that.
I was awake, and he goes, I bet you're going to do a bit about this, are you? Sure.
That's unsettling.
Yeah.
Did he really say that?
No, that one he did say.
I'm just going to ask you everything you say. Did that really happen?
Rob, I know. It won't be funny if you question everything. Just assume it's all for humor.
You know, I had that done. I had some issue, a stomach issue, when I was like 19, and I had that procedure done.
Mm.
And the guy just didn't left the room, and I'm in there for like an hour. Like, is someone going to check on me? Like, am I supposed to stay in this position? Like,
were you out?
Bent
were,
over?
No, you were.
No.
Oh, yeah.
He was just, he had the rubber. It was like Fletch. It was like right out of Fletch, yeah. You know, using the old fist there, Doc. And, and I just, like, he didn't give me anything to, like, clean up or
you're
like.
Just hanging in the
I'm
wind.
Just sitting there, you know, like, it was really bizarre. I think they made a swimsuit calendar out of it. But
did they? Oh, that would be.
That didn't really happen.
We'll have to say that every time you say something. Okay. And then the doctor did tell me, though, that my hair would grow back because of the estrogen.
Yeah.
But it didn't. All I got is this little eagle fluff on the top.
Well, it's only, it could still come back, though, right? I mean,
no.
No. Okay.
Because my estrogen is only, I only got another 5 months of estrogen, then I can get back to being a manly guy again, you know? When they put me on estrogen originally, I thought, oh, I'm going to turn into a lady now, you know, but I didn't.
It's not all bad.
No. And all I get is hot flashes now. And I'm a little more temperamental, but only during my period.
Oh, dear.
That's not true.
You need to bring me to all your shows so we can do this, yeah. Right?
You just shout from the crowd, that's not true.
And I'm like a typical heckler. I think I'm helping it right now. Rob's like, one more of those. I'm going to snap his neck right now.
No, I'm not going to do any more bits. Now it's just talk.
No, you do whatever. I love your bits, so keep them coming, buddy. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. That's great to know. And yeah. You talked a little bit about that last time, too, I think.
Did you get checked yet? PSA?
What did I do? Yes, I do they do the blood test first, right?
Yeah, yep.
I get all that done.
And that's all good.
It's all good. To be honest, they said they've never seen a prostate like mine.
Really? Right. So you showed them off. Not true.
Not true. No, that didn't happen, Rob. Yeah. I can't make that joke anyway because my doctor is a woman and I wouldn't. You got to be careful. Like, I wouldn't say it to a guy either.
Right.
Pardon me. But yeah, there's just some things. Even if you're trying to be funny, you got to kind of watch what you say. Right?
Yeah, but I do say it during my act because I want people to get checked. So I make everyone in the right. audience, and this
no,
is
that's
true.
Great.
This is
yeah.
true. I make everyone say, I promise I'll get checked by the time I'm 50.
Wow, that's kind of nice.
I figure I'm saving maybe one or two lives a show.
Because honestly, if one person gets checked because of that, that's more than would have if you had not said that. So yeah. Good for you. That's really...
I don't know if they... They're all too drunk anyway. You know.
Yeah.
You know how crowds are. You've done them.
I do. There was a crowd. I was working South Bend, Indiana. Is it South Bend or what? South Bend is Indiana.
Oh, yeah. That's funny still going. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it really?
It's in that brewery, Smokestack Brewery, right?
I don't remember. Honestly, this was like in the mid-90s. It was one of the last gigs I did before I moved out west, and my wife and I had just gotten married, and we were going up to Mackinac Island for our honeymoon. Yeah. And I left the club, got paid, and we were going to drive part of the way. And I leave the club, and there's a woman almost doing the splits and vomiting. She's sitting on the cement with her legs spread, vomiting. And there's three guys standing around. Two of them are smoking cigarettes. And I go, is she okay? And he goes, he takes a puff, and he goes, she's fine. This is like every week. You know what I mean?
Yep. You haven't been a comedian. You can't say you're a comedian until someone vomits in the front row.
Correct.
I saw that happen, too. I forgot where it was. I think it was Germany. I was in Stuttgart, and some guy vomited. And then a few minutes later, he was making out with his girlfriend. So it's gross. And that's true. I wish it wasn't.
Did he vomit in German, or could you understand him?
Well, it was a military base. But I did get a German guy that came in and heckled me in German. He's like, yo, Menschenskind, it's Hammer auf mit deinen Kraft und so weiter. And
you're like, well, thank you.
Yeah, there's no comeback to that one. It's just, you know.
Because you can't go after him. What if he is saying something?
Yeah, and he's a German, too. They're diabolical. They're not.
So we got to do a quick news thing, but I want to talk when we get back about last time you were here, you took your mom to Italy?
No, it was Bahamas.
Bahamas, right.
And then when we came back, yeah, I took her because I wanted her to brag about me, you know.
Yeah.
She doesn't have much to brag about. So I took her out there, and then we went to Germany and Italy and visited her relatives.
Nice.
And stuff.
So we'll hear about that when we come back.
Yes.
And you got some dates coming up.
Yep. Mattoon this week. Oh, boy.
Two this week.
Mattoon.
Oh, Mattoon, Illinois?
No, Mattoon, Wisconsin. I didn't ever hear of it either.
Oh, I got my Mattoons mixed up. Either way, it's a big room. But yeah. We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about all that.
Maybe you can put some butts in the seats. That would be awesome. The very funny Rob Breckenridge is here. We'll be back with more with Rob after Civic Media's award-winning news coming your way right now. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Two U.S. Navy destroyers intercepted some of the missiles Iran aimed at Israel today.
U.S. Navy destroyers deployed to the Middle East region supported the defense of Israel by firing approximately a dozen interceptors against the incoming Iranian missiles.
Pentagon spokesman Major General Pat Ryder, Israel's resumed airstrikes over Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. Vice presidential nominees J.D. Vance and Tim Walz debate tonight. Amongst 1.5 million customers across several states are still without power after Hurricane Helene. More than 20 are feared dead in suburban Bangkok after a bus carrying young students and their teachers on a school trip caught fire. A woman will spend 50 years in federal prison for her role in luring four young men to be killed by members of the violent transnational gang MS-13 in the New York City suburbs. Prosecutors say Leniz Escobar was a critical player at every step of the massacre. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The ACLU has a new guide to let students in Wisconsin schools know their rights. It covers everything from bullying to book bans to bathroom use and gender identity. There are also tips for social media use and for student journalists. The ACLU says every student has a right to a safe and inclusive learning environment. Mail carriers across the country are calling for better working conditions. The post office only holds one public hearing for workers a year. Mail carrier Sherry Butler says her colleagues are holding rallies instead.
It just kind of grew as more people became interested. The small idea of a letter writing campaign turned into a larger movement called We Won't Be Silenced. With this movement, we are ending the silence and sharing why our stories need to be told.
Workers are frustrated with the Postmaster General's efforts to consolidate the Postal Service. More than 120 rallies were held nationwide Tuesday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Duluth teen found guilty of second-degree intentional murder in the 2022 shooting death of a 17-year-old has been sentenced to prison. On Monday, 19-year-old Corey Young was sentenced to 27.5 years in prison on the charges. According to court documents, Young and the victim got into a verbal altercation at an apartment building in the Endian neighborhood before Young shot him. The victim was taken to a Duluth hospital where he was later pronounced dead. Young was only 17 at the time but was tried in adult court. An East Troy man was killed in a motorcycle accident in Sawyer County over the weekend. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, 56-year-old Brad Burdett was traveling on Phipps Road in the town of Lenroot when he went off the road and into a ditch before traveling hundreds of feet more and coming to a rest. He was ejected from the motorcycle and was pronounced deceased at the scene when authorities arrived. Nobody else was reported injured, and the crash remains under investigation by the Sheriff's Office. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 30s to near 40. For tomorrow, a mostly sunny day, highs around 70 to the low 70s. And a mix of sun and clouds and cooler for Thursday, temperatures back down into the mid-60s for highs. Right now, it's 53.
Matt and Air on Air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild will join me in studio. We'll review the VP debate and we'll talk about the Middle Eastern conflict.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
In her dressed in blue. See the sky in front of you.
fourth quadrant of this Tuesday edition of Nightlight, and Rob Brackenridge is here. You made the drive from the burbs.
Yep.
Or maybe we're a burb. I don't know. But it's great to have you here in the studio.
Well,
and
from Appleton. I made the drive from Appleton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of all the same city. But I do want to say that when we posted who was on the show tonight, Sarah said, I love Rob. He's hilarious. So you've got people watching. We were just talking about TikTok. You're big on TikTok, which is really cool.
Yep. Ever since I've been on TikTok, people have been recognizing me. And then I mention it. Like, my shows are packed with people, you know, and they just saw my little clips on TikTok. You know, it's great.
That is unbelievable. And does that affect, like, can you charge the clubs more for that? Like,
I guess I could. I've never been in that position to be one of those guys that says, you know, I'll take a door deal and stuff like that. I still just can't believe they're paying me to talk.
This door deal scares the heck out of me. Yeah. I never got to that point either. Not even close. But, like, what if you made a door deal and you didn't get anything?
Then you,
like,
just go, yeah, then it costs you money.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
They did that at, I did the Sky, or was it the PAC in Appleton? I did that a couple of years ago. And it was a door deal thing. But it ended up costing so much to rent out the place that I ended up owing them $200 after my run. After it was two shows. You know.
That's a drag. At the PAC.
At the PAC.
But that's pretty impressive either way that you're drawn.
Well, I was kind of happy doing it. And I thought, I went in to get my check, you know, and like sit down. And he goes, you owe us $200.
Hey, great job.
You can make the check out. By the way, you were really funny.
We enjoyed it.
But it costs like, I guess, $20,000 to rent it out. So,
wow! And you had to set that all up yourself?
Yeah, impressive. I heard other people do. Well, we did. I did it with Mike Merrifield and Steve Hartman, and we made a lot of money. And so I thought I could do the same thing, but it didn't work out that way. I didn't draw as much as the other guys did. So,
no one needs to know that, though.
I know. Why do I? I'm not. No one's gonna. No one's gonna know.
Play the PAC. That's all you have to say.
It's not true. There you go.
That's right. We were talking during the break about this phenomenon, social media, and you reminded me of something that I had totally forgotten about. My son was into this craze where he would watch someone play video games because they would flip out when they lost. Mm. And I'm like, what are you doing? I go, to me, it was like bad enough that you're wasting time playing video games. You're watching someone. It's like Brian Regan's bit. You're watching fishing. Yeah. You're not even fishing.
Who's freaking out, though? Your son?
The guy. No, the guy playing that he's watching will lose and he'll start slamming the table.
Yeah, he just wants to see someone lose, you know, because then he feels better than them. I think that's what it is.
But this guy, like you said, these guys are rock stars. They're playing video games and they have millions of followers watching them play video games.
I know. If you had tried to explain that to someone 20 years ago, they'd say, no. You mean you just sit in a chair and play a game and you're a millionaire? Yeah. All you got to do is put a camera on you.
Yeah. That's how I was with reality TV. Survivor was on. I was like, okay, that was fun. Let's go back to just funny narrative.
We didn't know it was here to stay.
Bigger, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's like bigger than narrative TV now, you know.
Right. There's no sitcoms anymore. Now it's all reality.
Right. Which isn't really reality. They're telling the people what to do. It's kind of scripted.
Virtual reality.
It's a bit of a fake.
A contradiction.
Yeah. So, Rob, tell us, let's do comedy first, then we'll talk about your travels. Okay. Where can people see you?
Well, this week I'm in Mattoon, Wisconsin.
Okay.
At the community hall, the Mattoon Community Hall.
Ooh, nice! All right.
And it's the guy that books it. He always fills the place up, so he's really
very cool.
I always have a fun time.
Where is Mattoon? Is it close to Madison or Milwaukee?
It's 60 miles north of us, so it's by Shawano.
So
hop, skip, and a jump. So
yeah, very nice. All right, so if you're in the Shawano or Mattoon area, check out can they just get tickets there at the door?
I think they can at the door, but also on my website, if you go to my website, there's a little link to it. I have all my dates and deets on there. It's robbrackenridge.com.
And Brackenridge, I had to look this up a couple times.
BRACKENRIDGE.
Look at that. We are a team, buddy. RobBrackenridge.com and check for tickets. That sounds fun. Those can be really fun shows in those big community centers. People are just there to laugh.
That's about all I do these days because I used to, you know, get on airplanes and play clubs. Now I just do one-nighters.
Yeah.
And, last week I did a club in Rochester, New York, or Rochester, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Goonies.
Have you, I like that name.
Did you play that?
No, I don't think.
It's been there forever.
God, maybe I did. I mean, I haven't done stand-up or worked the road anyway since like 96.
Oh.
So,
well, this
a
probably,
lifetime.
Yeah, it wasn't. But I thought I'd never worked it before because I didn't remember it, you know. Yeah. And I went in there and there was an old headshot of me, you know, from way long ago. You know, like it turns kind of silvery.
Right.
And I was young and I had hair. And I signed it. Hey, I'm real excited to be here. You know, and now my headshot is just me with a gray beard, you know, frowning. So I gave him a new one.
So you didn't even know you were, or you just forgot you were there?
I guess I forgot.
I think that's what happened to me too. Because people say stuff to me and I do this to other people too. We just don't remember sometimes things other people do leave an impression on us. And we remember that, and they don't. It was just a throwaway line to them or whatever.
Yeah. But somehow in our minds, as time goes by, you make it reality.
Yeah, totally. Well, that's fun. Okay, so Mattoon this weekend, and then what else? What else you got?
Next week we got Minong, which I didn't even know there was a Minong. I didn't know there was a Mattoon either. I'm just working all the weird named cities in Wisconsin. It's Mattoon, Minong, Wausaukee.
Oh, Wausaukee, I know very well. That's up Marinette County. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know where. I just have it written down there. And the Skyline, too. I'll be at the Skyline on the 15th.
Of October?
Of October, yes.
Nice.
Opening for Don McMillan.
Don McMillan.
You remember that guy?
He's been around.
Yeah, he does that. He has like a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And it's kind of, it's very funny, though. It sounds weird.
I see what it would be. He's got to follow you or open for you?
He's got a. I'm opening for him because the Skyline brings me in. I'm a utility player.
You're a local. Yeah, they probably love that. Yeah.
I live 2 blocks from it. So if the headliner doesn't show up, I fill in. If anyone doesn't show up. And then they use me for big acts that come in the middle of the week. So, yeah, I think that 15th is on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay.
And then I'm also at the Skyline. That we're doing a fundraiser for the fire department on the 20th at the Skyline. So the 20th of October.
They need to call me back.
They
I called them, and I because David Koechner worked there. I wrote a movie called The Guy Thing that David was in, and I know him a little bit. We're not great friends or anything, but we're acquaintances. And I was like, I'd love to have him on the show, but I you know how it is with these. I lost so much contact information over the years. So anyway, I tried his agent, and then I was like, you know, it was like 3 days away. I'm like, I'm not going to pester all my friends for Dave's contact information. But I did call the Skyline, and I didn't hear back from him. But they're packed every night, right?
Yeah, and the new guy owns it. If the old guy, Cliffy, still owned it, you'd hear right back from him.
I remember. But
the new guy's got like 7 different clubs, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have time to do anything. But Koechner, I filled in for him. He couldn't make it one.
Really?
Week. Yeah, it was like a couple of years ago, maybe.
I've never seen. I love him as Todd Packard on The Office. Mm. So funny, and in almost everything I see him in. But I've never seen him do stand up. I didn't know he did stand up. To be honest.
Yeah, and I didn't even come out to see him when he came the next day. I didn't come out, so I'd love to see his stand up sometime too. But I just filled in for him.
Are you hard to follow? You're very high energy. You make your jokes are great. You make funny expressions. Like I would imagine you'd be kind of a tough act to follow.
I like to think that I'm not hard to follow because I get the audience thinking in terms of bits, you know, focused. I get the audience focused and I get them laughing. So I would think anyone, but you know, I had Doug Stanhope follow me. It was many years ago. And he goes, Brackenridge, following you is like following Garrison Keillor at Lake Wobegon.
That is so Doug Stanhope, how you just said that. That is so funny.
Yeah, he used to open for me.
Oh, that's
way back in the day.
So great. It's funny because I remember that used to be kind of a badge of honor. If you go up and crush and the headliner had trouble following you, it didn't happen much, but once in a while you do that. And I remember thinking that guy couldn't follow me. But as you get older, you're like, you don't want to see that.
No.
It's more about the whole show. I think it's just, you just mature.
Yep.
Right? As a performer, and you want the whole show to be good.
And when you were talking about like early on in your career, you want a headline. So you want to blow the guy off the stage. And so it creates a worse show for the audience. But for you, you're thinking, I'm going to headline here next.
Yes.
And then people come up afterwards and go, you were really funny. You know.
Oh, you were on the show too. Yeah, right. And I'm not saying, that probably happened less than 5 times. I'm not trying to say I was, that guy. But even looking back, I'm like, that joke's lame. That's probably easy. You know,
Yeah.
You just kind of look back with some, you know, you kind of reevaluate. And I remember I was working with a guy who, we worked the road together. I won't say his name. Funny guy. And he said, was I a jerk the last time you worked with me? And I said, no, you just ignored me. but I had heard he was a jerk. And he said, no, I was. He goes, he would do a set that was very high energy and kind of hacky. And the audience would go nuts because they didn't know better. And he'd look at the head.
This is a special presentation of Civic Media News. Tonight, the spotlight focuses on Governor Tim Walz and Senator J.D. Vance as Wisconsin decides 2024. Special coverage of the CBS vice presidential debate begins now on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Good evening and welcome to Civic Media News special coverage of the vice presidential debate. I'm Terry Bell of Civic Media News and joined this evening by Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Civic Media political editor Dan Schaefer. Gentlemen, good evening.
Nice good evening, Terry.
Well, there'll be a lot of things to keep an eye on tonight. A lot of observers say that the one overarching goal is for each of these candidates tonight is to do no harm to their ticket. So I wonder if they had any thoughts beyond that as to what both these men have to do and what they have to avoid.
Well, first, I have to ask whether harm is being done to somebody in one of these studios here. Is it, Dan, do you have a Donnybrook going on behind you, or are those plans for the debate I'm hearing in the background?
I am here at a debate watch party in Menominee Falls, where a number of people are starting to gather and get ready for the debate here at Battery Menominee Falls. We've got a real Midwestern potluck that's coming together here. They have made the Tim Walz hot dish recipe and have all sorts of, just local flair here to bring the Tim Walz Midwestern dad vibes to the forefront as he takes the debate stage this evening.
I will be listening for the first ope as somebody tries to sneak right by you as they bring their hot dish over to the table. But I guess as far as, you know, what we'll hear from the actual debate stage once things get going, Terry, your point about, you know, doing no harm applies, of course, mostly to Senator Vance from Ohio. Nobody has had negatives like his coming on board a ticket. It's hard to say that something could be a drag on Donald Trump, and yet that's exactly what the Republican ticket is dealing with right now. Tim Walz has been nothing short of a rock star. Now, that said, every debate has its potential to be a game changer. Witness what happened to President Biden in the first debate. It is always possible that Tim Walz could say something that would be, you know, a full-blown gaffe or just provide some kind of an opening for J.D. Vance to suddenly look, vice presidential, I guess is the term we'll have to go with tonight. So both men are very well aware of the perils and pitfalls. It's high risk, low reward, Dan, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I also think it's interesting here because we have a situation where this might be the last debate we see for the election cycle here. It seems pretty unlikely that we're going to get another presidential debate at this point with Donald Trump turning those down. So this, you know, this VP debate might be the last one we get in the election cycle. So I think it's going to be really important for these candidates who are both still relatively new to the national scene to introduce themselves to voters who might not know a whole lot about them. And Terry, you touched on it earlier as well. The polling on both of these candidates, it couldn't be further apart. You take a look at the Marquette University Law School polling from just a couple weeks ago showed Tim Walz with the highest favorability of any politician that they had polled in there, and J.D. Vance on the other end of the spectrum. So will he, with this type of stage, be able to reverse that? Time will tell, of course, but it's going to be interesting to see how each of these candidates approach this particular debate.
We may see a test of their temperament tonight. We've seen them only so far in friendly surroundings. We have not seen either of them being challenged, you know, on camera in front of a live national audience. So that might be one thing to look for.
Well, I'm looking to see if Senator Vance is going to be challenged by the CBS News moderators. Much has been said about whether the moderators will be fact-checking. I'll just be looking at their tone overall. J.D. Vance has this new game that he likes to play, and we saw it in here in Wisconsin during his last visit, and he does it every time now, where he'll give his speech, then he'll say, well, now I'm going to take some questions from the media, and he lets the audience join in with a cheering or mostly booing, like it's the Jerry Springer show, and he really tries to make a circus out of the media asking challenging questions. He doesn't have that tonight. He doesn't have the circus crowd. So does he lash out at the moderators and, you know, basically staying in character? Or does he treat this with the respect that the American voters deserve in this kind of a forum?
Well, that's a good point. There will be no studio audience for this debate tonight, as there were for the previous presidential debates. Few other ground rules tonight. Both candidates have agreed to a 90-minute debate with two 4-minute commercial breaks. Campaign staff are not allowed to interact with the candidates during those breaks. Once again, no studio audience. There will also be no opening statements, a bit of a break from tradition. Candidates cannot bring pre-written notes or props on stage. Candidates will have 2 minutes to answer each question and 2 minutes to respond. They will be allowed 1 minute for rebuttals. Candidates may get an additional minute to continue a discussion at the moderator's discretion, so that'll be on a case-by-case basis. Candidates' microphones are not going to be muted like they have been in the presidential elections when their opponent is speaking, but CBS News is reserving the right to turn off the microphones if they so choose. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for closing remarks, and no topics or questions will be shared with campaigns in advance. And once again, it appears likely that CBS moderators will not be fact-checking in real time like the ABC moderators did in the last presidential debate.
I think that could prove to be a bit of a problem in this debate, because they think they're putting the onus on the candidates to fact-check each other. And I think it's going to be, there's some potential this gets dragged into the gutter a little bit if candidates are going back and forth, constantly questioning each other's statements. And I think it would not be unreasonable to expect that from Vance in particular, given his approach to the media, as you mentioned earlier, in some of those press conference that he's had at some of his campaign stops throughout the year. So I think, that is something to consider. And I think I really wish they would have, kind of continued what the ABC debate did and really do some really important live fact checking that they did in that debate. And it just shows, it's the latest example of when Republicans tend to, step in and try to work the refs. Sometimes it works for them.
I think Governor Walz will and his team probably are baking into the equation that if they've got 90 seconds to answer something, it's actually going to be a 60-second answer, because they're going to spend the first part of it correcting the record. And I think that's important, because again, you don't want a lie to gain traction. And if the moderators refuse to moderate, well, then it will be incumbent upon Governor Walz not to let Senator Vance get away with things like continuing to lie about who was responsible for capping insulin prices for seniors and things like that. Now, CBS has said that there's going to be a QR code on their screen, on the CBS airwaves, not on the simulcasts, where people can, use their phone and bring up a different screen that's going to be doing some kind of fact checking. It's an interesting use of technology, but it's a poor substitute for, the network that gave us Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite. And I can't imagine either of them sitting at the table and just letting lies slide.
Well, speaking of fact checking, both of these candidates have stuck their foot in their mouths, so to speak, at one point or another, at least during the campaign. Senator Vance falsely accused immigrants in Ohio of stealing and eating cats and dogs. And, Tim Walz is having to account for claims he made that it was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square crackdown in Beijing. So, I would think that each candidate would try to make as much as they could out of the other.
I just don't see that. I don't think there's a lot of political hay to be made out of, you know, where somebody was on such and such a day.
Well, if he claimed he was there and he wasn't.
Well, compared to maligning an entire population of migrants with some of the most, base racist accusations that can be made out there, I don't think that there's going to be, a lot of equal treatment of, one person's mistaken claim versus another person's, racially tinged tarring of an entire population.
Dan Schaefer?
Yeah, I think, it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. But I think, one of the main points that I think we're going to see in this debate from the Walls camp is that, we're got a notice from the Harris Walls campaign earlier that Harris is spotlighting that J.D. Vance could be a heartbeat away from the presidency. Now, we talked so much earlier this year about Joe Biden's competency and all of that, but Donald Trump is a 78-year-old man. He would be one of the oldest people to ever hold this office. So I think it is right of the Harris campaign to put that in the spotlight for in the run-up to this debate. If people consider, Donald Trump, the man who he is, someone else would have to take the reins, and that person being J.D. Vance, this is going to be America's most high-profile look at Vance, and if he is up to that type of job. He's a first-term senator. He's had a very quick political rise here over just the last handful of years. Is he the type of person that Americans are going to see as somebody that they could trust to be a commander-in-chief if things were to ever go that way?
And remember, that is a very nascent political career built on a very shaky foundation. He started as one of Trump's loudest critics. He referred to him as something akin to America's Hitler, and now they're best buds. So you see why there is already a gap in terms of trustworthiness between Vance and the American people. Add on to it the specter of this is no longer just a running mate, but a potential president. And you can see where there would be much more onus on Senator Vance to appear, presidential than Governor Walz, who's already in his second term as chief executive of a state, has six terms in Congress behind him. But of course, the big question that leads to is, does J.D. Vance try to actually appeal to moderate voters, or does he take a cue from his running mate and say, we're not really out to attract a lot of moderate voters. We're looking to play our base. We'll throw as much red meat as possible, hoping that there will be more new first-time voters, people who've never voted before, which you see in every election, even with 70% turnout. That's 3 out of 10 people who never vote, and some of them haven't voted because they've never seen a guy like Donald Trump before, and maybe this will be the first time that they come out because J.D. Vance just brings an extra cherry on top.
Yeah, you mentioned the J.D. Vance's past with talking, being critical of Donald Trump in 2016 throughout his presidency. But I think part of the selection of Vance, the logic from the Republican camp, and this is something that we heard when we were on the ground in the RNC in Milwaukee, was that it kind of creates this permission structure for people to say, okay, I was not on board with Trump in 2016, but I'm on board with him now. I don't like how the last 4 years have been going. So I think to whatever extent Vance is able to be successful in the debate tonight, it will be to kind of lay that groundwork to create that permission structure for people to say, okay, maybe I didn't vote for Trump in 2016 or 2020, but I'd rather things go back to the way they were under Trump. I think that is the type of message that would be effective for Vance. He has not shown that he is disciplined enough or skillful enough politician to stick to that kind of message. So we'll see where that goes when he's head to head with Walls in this debate this evening.
No matter what is said or done tonight, will it really ultimately matter? And past experience shows us the vice presidential debates really don't register in the ultimate tally in November. So is it a case of, going for that viral moment that might last for a couple of news cycles? Or is it just, as we said at the top of the broadcast, not to, fail badly, not to screw up too badly?
think of it as the compulsories in something like Olympic gymnastics or figure skating. You have to do it, and it's high risk, low reward. Like I said before, you have to perform. You have to go through this to show who you are, introduce yourself to the American people, and yet again, you are. You know, when I think of famous vice presidential debate moments, you're only you're no JFK moment away. You're no Jack Kennedy moment away from being a laughingstock. But this is what we should expect, that our leaders and potential leaders can perform for 90 minutes. And by perform, I mean seriously answer questions and appeal to the voters.
Well, Dan Quayle may have been no Jack Kennedy, but George Bush won that election. So I guess that just goes to my point, how much this really matters.
Right.
Which I'm guessing maybe not a lot. Anyway, we're going to go now to New York City and CBS.